Welcome to Issues of the Hearts. Good to have you tonight with us. Monday night, 7 o'clock. And I love the fact that you folks keep showing up. Now, let me encourage you. If you're watching, if you're listening, respond. We're looking at all the posts. So if you want to say hallelujah or great or that's good or ask a question, Dr. Chadwick can see every question that's going to roll up on the screen. So he can answer those if I see them. And he doesn't notice them, I'll point him out. But we want you to be a part of this. You know, this podcast, we love it. And the reason we started this podcast is actually out of Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, where the Bible said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And I'm telling you, if you lose your heart, if you lose control of your heart, the sky's the limit. Where do you go after that? Solomon said to David, I think it was, "My son, give me thine heart." The reason he wanted his heart, because if he had the heart, he knew he had everything else in David's life. So that's the purpose of the podcast, and we're glad that you folks are joining in. Again, we'll let you know as people respond and post. But I want you to do me a favor, and we have a special guest right now that is, he's something else. He's Dr. Jerry Chadwick. He's a pastor, my home pastor, and I don't get to have my home pastor. We've had everybody else on here, but I don't get to have my own pastor, and he's a thrill. Brother Chadwick, it's such a great honor to have you on. Thank you so much for giving him your time on a Monday night. I know Monday's a preacher's day off, but I appreciate you being on here for us tonight. Tell us a little bit, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about where you came from, what your ministry's been like, all that good stuff.
Well, you know, first of all, thanks for allowing me to do this. It's an honor, and I'm very fortunate and blessed to be able to know you and to be a part of this. So I'm excited. You were talking about people commenting. I would just encourage folks now, look, no April Fool's jokes, all right? Let's stay away from that. But, you know, I'm from Louisiana, Southwest Louisiana. DeRidder, Louisiana is my home. I was born and raised there. I'm the youngest of four. And, you know, just had a real interest in life growing up. Like all of us, the grace of God certainly chased me down. I'm so thankful for salvation. My wife and I met when we were teenagers, dated for several years. We've been married almost 30 years now. And let's see, I've been privileged to be in the ministry for 33 years. I was thinking about that just this weekend, as a matter of fact, as we were getting ready for Easter Sunday. And so the Lord called me to preach when I was 18, started pastoring when I was 19, and pastored for several years, then traveled as an evangelist for 11 years, and then back to pastoring, and have been at MIMS now going on 6 years almost. This July will be 6 years, and it's just been a great joy. I got here as fast as I could, and just thankful to be here in Texas and at MIMS, and the Lord's certainly been good to us. Two children, Luke and Keely, and our daughter's about to graduate, so we'll soon be empty nesters, which will begin another chapter and season in our life. So, hey, man, we're just excited. Thank you for allowing me to be on tonight.
Amen. Now, folks, what you're going to see tonight, you need to enjoy this up until the beginning of football season. You probably won't see this during football season. I'm an Arkansas Razorback. He's an LSU Tiger. And we'll try to love each other through it, but it's a little easier right now. It's actually easier for me because the last few years, Arkansas doesn't have much to brag about. But anyway, I don't want to get on it. But we're thrilled to have you. Preacher, you know, the reason I wanted you on is because over the years, you know, having been in ministry a long time, and back in the older days, if you'll remember, we used to go to preachers' fellowships all the time and pastors' fellowships, and we would go to be encouraged. And that's good. But I got encouraged to death, mm-hmm. You know, there were a lot of, I took my pen and my paper to take notes, but usually you didn't take many notes because they were encouraging, and I appreciate that. But let me ask you a question. So if, you know, in your experience with pastors and people in the ministry, what is something that you've found that nobody wants to talk about that really should be talked about?
Yeah. Well, you know, great question. And, you know, first of all, as far as experience goes, I mean, good night, we're always learning, aren't we? And as someone said, we're always maturing. We're never mature. And so, you know, I certainly don't feel qualified to say, hey, I'm experienced or that I'm an expert at all. I'm wanting to continue to learn. One pastor said, don't ever quote anyone until they've crossed the finish line. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably some truth to that. And so I'm still a work in progress. But, you know, during my 11 years in evangelism, I was very privileged to preach in probably 600 or 700 churches. And what that did for me was that put me around a different pastor every week. And in some instances, 2 and 3 times a week. And so I love pastors. I love those that are in ministry. Obviously, that's the call of God on my heart. And I'm very fortunate and blessed to be able to do that and to be able to lead God's people and be in ministry. But, you know, one thing I have found that has really spoken to my heart through the years is just the need for us to be honest. And, you know, that covers a whole lot of stuff, right? And what I have discovered, I don't want to paint with a broad brush and say this is the case for every pastor, because it's certainly not. But sometimes what I have found is that pastors are sort of backed into a corner to never admit that they struggle, never admit that they have any problems, never admit that they have any issues. Most flats are not blowouts, they're slow leaks. And then what happens is over time is because they never have the opportunity to talk about it for whatever reason. Maybe other preachers condemn them for doing so, or maybe the congregation condemns them, or maybe it's just, you know, self-inflicted, whatever the case. The enemy always wants to work in the dark, and he always mm-hmm. wants us to hide things. God wants us to bring it to the light. And there is a balance between airing our dirty laundry in public. I get that. None of us want to make light of sin. None of us want to feel as if we've compromised on sin. And I get that. Mm-hmm. But if we allow ourselves, if we don't bring ourselves into check and to get honest with the Lord and with ourselves and with people, then what could potentially happen is we go to the other extreme and we ignore it and we never talk about it. Pride sets in, and here we are helping other people. And yet, you know, Solomon said, I was the keeper of the world's vineyard, and my own vineyard I did not keep. And I just think there is an incredible need in our life to be honest and vulnerable before the Lord and to be real. We're not helping people. We're not helping our people by pretending to be something that we're not. And so, Lord, help us to be balanced. That's what I would say, in my opinion, is what I find more often than not, the issue that pastors and preachers just, they don't want to deal with it. They don't have anyone to talk to, anyone to get honest with. They're afraid. Are my people going to judge me? What are they going to think? What would they think if they know I'm not perfect? Well, I've got news for us. They already know it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, preacher, you know, I had a guy tell me years ago when I was first starting out. He said, son, you're going to be looking at a congregation. You're going to be preaching the word. He said, but I'm going to tell you the hardest thing you'll ever do in your lifetime is to see you as you really are.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, because I guarantee you, when you see that, you will not like what you see. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that kind of, preacher, that kind of goes against modern psychology, you know, where you're supposed to have this great self-image and all that stuff. And I'm all for people having a good self-image, but I think sometimes we hide that stuff. As a matter of fact, I think one of our problems is we're guilty of making known the things we ought to keep secret and keeping a secret of the things we ought to make known. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of those areas. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? What is, of those things, what do you think's one of the biggest problems we see with not just preachers? I don't want to isolate, but just with everybody, men in general and women too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest, perhaps pride, to your point, you know, the Apostle Paul said these words: I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection, lest while I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified, set on the shelf. Paul talked about self-evaluation. Now, I'll just tell you what that means to me. If Paul had to constantly keep a watch on himself, keep a close eye on himself, and to deal with himself, lest while he preached to others, he would become disqualified, then I say to me, I'll speak for me, how much more do I need to do that? How much more do I need to recognize and realize the potential, the propensity towards sin, and the reality of my flesh? Hey, I've been saved. Thank God for the grace of God that has addressed the penalty of sin. But right now in the nasty here and now, I've got to deal with me. The enemy that we all face, the world, the flesh, the devil, every single one of us deal with it. It's the same enemy. And we know the world. Someone has said the world is the external enemy. The devil is the infernal enemy. But ourself, that's the real enemy, the internal enemy. And Paul talks about the battle between the flesh and the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. And how do we overcome that? It's not by, you know, the power of positive thinking or a good self-image. You know, when I hear things like what you said earlier, and, you know, psychologists that would tell us to have a good self-image, well, some would look at it perhaps, especially in this day and age in the churches, to defeat, to say that, you know, I'm a stench, I'm miserable, I'm a wretch, whatever the case may be. But boy, that gives me a lot of victory. That gives me a lot of assurance to know that it's not dependent upon me. Yes, I have responsibility. Of course I do, to pursue holiness, without which no man will see the Lord, the Bible says. But my holiness and my righteousness is based on my relationship with Jesus Christ and not my performance. So, you know, Paul would say, let the one who thinks they stand take heed lest they fall. To the one who thinks, you know, and so here we go, Brother Jay, I got to preach. Is that all right? I mean, you're going to let me loose? Let me preach. Okay. Well, you know, to the one that thinks they stand, the word thinks means in their own estimation. So in other words, when I reach a point, Paul says, that in my own estimation of myself, you know, be careful that you don't read your own mail. Be careful that you don't read your own press release, right? Mm-hmm. Let he that thinks he stand, better take heed. That means be aware, be alert, be on guard, lest he fall. Does that mean I live my life constantly in fear that I'm going to mess up? No. But I'll tell you this, there are things in life worse than death. And I would never want the Lord to put me on a shelf. I would never want to dishonor him or displease him. I often think of my two children, and, you know, I have said this from the pulpit before, how it would grieve my heart to know that one day they would say, Dad, you used to preach. You used to live for God. You used to be on fire for the Lord. And yeah, I look at those things as motivation to realize, hey, there's a race to run. Many people that failed the Lord in the Bible did so not in their weaknesses, but in their strength. Two people are called meek, Moses and Jesus. That's an elite club. Mm-hmm. And Moses, we know, was forbidden to enter the promised land because he struck the rock, disobeyed the Lord. Peter, you know, with arrogance, confidence even, right? Mm-hmm. Lord, I'll tell you, all these others, they're going to deny you, but I'll never do it. And, you know, talking about preachers and pastors and ministers, and yes, it's across the board, but as leaders, we've got to be careful, because I've been around too many who I have heard make statements. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, there may be a lot of things I'm guilty of, but I'll never be guilty of this. Just watch out. Just be careful. Yes. Just be careful. Slippery slope. Watch yourself. I think that's what Paul was saying. Take heed. Be aware. Don't paint a target on your chest. Don't be one that looks down your nose at others when they fall or when they fail and say, well, that'll never be said of me. Watch out. You know, those are strong words when you say always and never. And I just think there should be an awareness that we are men of clay feet, that we are sinful human beings, and there's nothing special about us. It's him. And how do we live the Christian life? The same way we were saved, by grace through faith. How do we live every day? By grace through faith. And we rely upon him and depend upon him and trust him to see us through. So Lord, help me not to be like Simon Peter. You know, hey, I'll tell you, you know, all these others, they'll fail you, Lord, but not me. I'm going to go with you to death. And of course, the very thing he said he'd never do was the very thing he did. Mm-hmm. And that can be true for any of us. That can be true for all of us. And so the admonition to the one that thinks they stand, take heed, lest they fall. I just think it's something we ought to pay attention to.
So do you think sometimes we set ourselves up because we cling to our victory in areas where maybe other people have fallen, and we think, well, you know what? Let me give you, for instance, when I was young in the ministry, I was a pastor of my second church. The reason it was my second church was because I was voted out of my first church. And I remember I was getting ordained, and one of the questions they said, so how determined are you to stay in the ministry? And boy, I poked my chest out and I said, well, I tell you what, I've already been voted out of one church for my stand for God. And then the preacher was asked the question, turned and looked at me. He said, you do understand there are some things worse than being voted out of a church.
Yeah.
He said, for instance, what if your wife came to you and said, you know what? I can't take the ministry anymore. I'm leaving. He said, that's worse than getting voted out of a church. Or what if your whole ministry hangs in the balances because in one moment you were unprotected? He said, that's worse than getting voted out of a church. And it dawned on me right then, you know, shame on me. I picked out the one thing where I thought, and now as I've thought about it over the years, I was wrong for getting voted out of the church. But anyway, but at that time I thought I was right, and was essentially bragging about it. But boy, he put me in my place. Don't all of us do that to some degree? We pick out the thing for we want to be the martyr, and then that other thing is what gets us.
Yeah, it's kind of the problem with experience, isn't it? You got to go through stuff to learn it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would to God we knew this stuff when we were 18, 19, and 20, you know?
Right.
I mean, I remember one church where I was young, and oh my goodness, you know, the arrogance, the pride. I mean, how did those people even put up with it? Now, look, we're not even going to ask the question, how do they put up with it now? I understand, but, you know, I try to be careful saying things like this, but man, in my 20s, if anyone ever questioned me, oh my goodness, you know, oh wow, you know, they had to be of the devil, right? You know, how dare you question? And now I joke and say I question myself most of the time. To your point, though, it's the problem with experience. You have to go through some stuff. You have to learn it. And someone has said we're a lot like a tea bag. We're not worth much till we've gone through hot water.
Yeah.
And the Lord knows how to break us, and he knows how to work those kinks out of us and the arrogance. And, you know, Jay, sometimes I sit back and look over my ministry and my life, and I think, you know, Lord, why did you eat? Why have you put up with me? Why have you given me more opportunities? Why? And the pride and the arrogance. And man, we go through these things, we go through this stuff, and we learn, don't we? And we learn, or we should learn. Maybe I should say we should learn, right? What a tragedy to waste experiences and go through and become even harder or more proud or more arrogant. You know, pride doesn't look good on anyone.
Right.
But it surely doesn't look good on an older man in particular. Yeah. And I guess what I'm trying to say, I'm rambling here, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, as we go through this stuff, I think it should be opportunities for us to draw near to the Lord and allow him to show us stuff and to just not take things personally. I'm putting myself out there saying this. You know, when I was younger and you know, the critics or folks would criticize or critique or, you know, just whatever. Oh, my gracious. You know, I'd want to fight back. I'd want to defend myself. I'd want to, you know, quit the ministry, or I'd want to, whatever the case. And it doesn't mean that everything's easy now. It doesn't mean that everything's just always wonderful now. Mm-hmm. But I just think we sometimes have to get to the point where if it really is all about him, then let it be all about him. Don't take yourself so seriously. You know, relax, trust the Lord. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, you know, when they first surrendered to the ministry, they were convinced it was going to be worldwide revival and millions of people were going to come to the Lord. And they joked and said, now I'm just convinced sometimes God called me to preach just to make sure I get out of the bed on Sunday and get to church, you know? And that doesn't mean that we have this flippant attitude that doesn't matter. It just simply means that we learn as we get older. We should learn as we get older through experiences that, man, the Lord brings us through these things. You know, who wants to go through an experience like you did as you just described at your first church? Who wants to go through it? But I'm also looking at someone who just shared a moment ago. You said, if I think I heard you correctly, that, you know, looking back on it, you weren't even right in that situation.
Right.
Now that takes growth, doesn't it? That takes maturity. And I think maybe the big point we ought to get is, God help us not to go through those experiences and bow up and get mad and fight back and not willing to admit, you know, I could have done things differently. I guess what I'm saying is, what you're telling me is you learned through that. And so, Lord, when we get, because we're all going to go through that, right? It rains on the just and the unjust. Anyone that thinks because we serve the Lord, we're immune to trouble, they're not reading the Bible. It's going to happen. But when we go through it, rather than having this martyr mentality or rather than wanting to run and flee, just, Lord, help me to stay up under the burden that you've called me and help me to learn, not get bitter, have the joy of the Lord. If Paul could have joy in prison, surely somehow or another, I could have joy in you in my season and my chapter and whatever you're bringing me through. And so, you know, absolutely. I can remember, I'll say this quickly. I used to have an attitude, and I confess this. I used to have an attitude. Well, I'll tell you one thing. These preachers that get run off from churches, or these preachers that, you know, go through problems at churches, they bring it on themselves. That's what they do. Well, you know what? A lot of times, yes, that's the case. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of times that's not the case. And Lord, help me not to get so big for my spiritual britches that I think somehow or another I'm immune to any of that, because it can happen to any of us. So forgive me for rambling on that.
Well, preacher, let me ask you. So do we ever get to the point where we disqualify ourselves from ever making the right decision? Let me explain what I'm talking about. I was preaching a conference in Northern Illinois. We had just started our ministry, and I got up and I explained to everybody what the ministry was all about, because our ministry, those who don't know, Recovery Ministries, we're out there to help preachers and staff members, everybody, but primarily preachers and staff members, to be encouraged not to quit, you know, to keep their homes strong and so forth. And so I presented what our ministry was about, and this guy kind of, he met me after the fact, and he said, well, he said, I'll tell you something, son, I think you're wasting your time. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if a preacher messes up, he's done. Church just needs to look for somebody else. And I got to thinking about that, and, you know, and I remember thinking, well, I sure am glad Jesus didn't think that way. And I'm going to keep trying to help preachers. And years later, I had a guy call me on the phone. He said, yes, he said, you know, my daughter's married to a pastor. They're having some tremendous trouble. Can you help them? He said, and oh, by the way, I didn't see the purpose for your ministry the first time I met you, but now I need you. Mm-hmm. And it was that guy who made that comment to me in that, in the back of that church. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what I try to tell people is that there, you never reach a point where you're unusable. Now, what you do may change. You know, I mean, the Bible says the vessel that God made was marred in the hand of the potter, and he made it again another vessel. It had a different purpose for it, but it was still a purpose, right? And so, you know, I thought so many times about a lot of these guys. They're hurting, you know, and some of it's because they weren't aware. They were aware, but they didn't think it could happen to them. And temptation is one of those big things, you know. And so let me ask you, is there anybody out there? I mean, do you reach an age where temptation is not an issue for you anymore? You're old enough now. Does it really matter?
Well, I will say this to you. When I was in my early 20s, I asked my mentor, who was 80 at the time. He was the man who taught me to pray, taught me to study the Bible, man, just modeled for me what it was to walk with the Lord. And here I was in my, 23 years old, and more zeal than sense, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to him and I said, man, how old does a person have to be until they no longer struggle with such things as lust? And he said to me, well, Jerry, it has to be over 80. And I was absolutely shocked by his answer. Now, when I look back on that answer, I'm so incredibly blessed that he loved me enough to be that honest with me. Because what he was trying to say was, well, you know what? I haven't reached a point where I no longer deal with that. And see, I think that really is the issue. Preachers don't want to, refuse to. It may be pride. It may be fear. It may be the enemy. It may be, you know, what are my people going to think if I talk about these kind of issues? You know, you preachers, you should not have those struggles. What are you talking about? Where do you see that anywhere in the Word of God?
Right.
And I think, you know, the Bible says, pray that you enter not into temptation. What does that mean? Why don't we play offense? Why don't we bring it to the light?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we get honest? Now, again, do we go to the other extreme and we just air our dirty laundry in public? Absolutely not. Am I suggesting tonight that we make light of sin or that we just have this attitude? No. Am I saying, well, if you can't beat them, join them? No. We have victory. But what I am saying is, let's not allow the enemy to get us into a place where we're unwilling to admit to the Lord and to ourselves, hey, this can happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
This can happen to me. Again, that's what he said. Let he who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Don't allow yourself to get so consumed with pride that there is an attitude that we look down our noses at others and say, well, do you see this brother or do you see this pastor or do you see this individual who's done this? That'll never happen to me. I think what the Lord is saying through Paul to us is you be careful. Watch out now. Watch out. And I think so to answer your question, no. Is there an age that we can get to? Is there a pinnacle that we can get to where we're no longer going to be tempted? Absolutely not. I think that's what we're all looking forward to when it comes to glorification, when we're in the presence of the Lord and there's no more sin. Hey, listen, heaven's going to be something else. Jesus, you can't top that, right?
Right.
Streets of gold, gates of pearls, walls of jasper, wonderful and beautiful. I believe it all. But let's just talk about what one of the greatest things is going to be. No more sin nature. It's gone. Perfect unity and right, union yeah. with him. And, you know, Paul said the things he wants me to do are the things I don't want to do. The things he doesn't want me to do, they're the things I want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul was honest about it. How much more should we be honest about it?
Mm-hmm.
And there can be a healthy, you know, I have found as a pastor, you know, again, I have found as a pastor, you know, I'll make comments like, you know, have you ever opened your Bible, read a chapter, and then just thought, my goodness, man, my mind is wandering in a thousand different directions. I can't get focused. What did I even read? You know, when I make statements just like that, it would blow people's mind. How many folks in our church come to me and say, you know, preacher, thank you for saying that. I thought I was the only one that struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there are times I go to pray and my mind just wanders a million different directions. I think any of us that would just be real and honest before the Lord and with each other, we struggle, right? You know, James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you can be healed. And I think one of the things maybe the enemy's trying to do in the church is to destroy that ability for us to be vulnerable and honest with one another, right? I mean, us to be healed, absolutely. For us to be made whole, we have an environment where, I mean, if you admit you have a struggle, we look down our nose. Well, can you believe it? Well, I knew he wasn't real. I knew he wouldn't make it. God help us not to be that judgmental and that critical of people. So, you know, Lord, I just want to be honest before the Lord, before my family, before my church, and be in an environment where we can be real. Take the mask off. Don't be a phony. Don't deliberately deceive. Help us not to do that. That's my prayer.
Amen. Yeah, it's, you know, and you're gonna fight the battle. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. I used to tell people most of my ministry, I had made a decision I wasn't gonna hug anybody under 40 years old. Well, I changed that age like 10 times now. Now I don't hug anybody under 70 years old. So you know, it's a battle everybody fights, and to win the battle is not to hide from the battle or to lie to yourself and tell you that the potential is not there. It's always going to be there. Guard your eyes, you know, guard your heart. And again, I think it's all part of the heart. We tell people all the time, and I have a lot of psychologist friends, and where we differ is, and you know this, preacher, they focus on the mind, the thoughts, you know, the mental vices. And what we do in the ministry as preachers, and me as a counselor, is we focus on the heart. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible said from the abundance of the heart.
Right.
The heart. It starts there, goes to the mind, goes from the mind to action, and then if it ever gets to the mind, you already have a problem. Okay, but the problem was started in the heart. And so I appreciate your being on today. I wish I love preachers. I want to help preachers. I believe this with all my heart. There's an attack on preachers unlike like mm-hmm. attacks on anybody else. Mm-hmm. And it makes perfect sense. They attack a pastor because if they take down the pastor, they take down the whole church.
Right, right.
And so there's, when people say to me, boy, isn't that surprising? My first response is, no, it's not surprising. Mm-hmm. If I was a military leader, that would be my strategy.
Absolutely.
And so what we ought to do, and I appreciate you saying this, what we ought to do rather than be critical is get behind those guys and pray. Mm-hmm. Pray mm-hmm. that God protects them and guards them. And then those of us who are in the ministry, we ought to get on our knees and say, God, I am vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Please mm-hmm. protect me.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And you're right. It doesn't do any good not to talk about it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's at least to ourselves, we got to talk about it between us mm-hmm. and God.
Right.
And, I appreciate it. Well, we didn't get a lot of questions, which means that you covered the subject very thoroughly. We did get a lot of responses. You didn't see them all. We got a lot of people watching. I'm getting these posts, preacher, you know, love my pastor, mm-hmm. Great word, pastor. Nobody said that about me yet. I'm getting
no.
a little scared about it. But anyway, I appreciate you so much, and I echo what they said. You're a blessing to my wife and I. You're a blessing mm-hmm. to our church. I was there when you came there, and was excited day one, and just mm-hmm. excited today as I was then. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pastor Jerry Chaddick. You know, we call him some of us call him a preacher's preacher, and I think he is. And every time we have a guest come in, they essentially say the same thing. And if you listen to him very often, then you're gonna get it. So mm-hmm. if you're a pastor out there, if you're in the ministry, maybe you're a member of another church, you get an opportunity to hear Pastor Chaddick here, and mm-hmm. You'll be thrilled. Mm-hmm. Well, Jerry, thank you so much. And this will be played on four other sites, and we'll probably get questions off of those or comments off those, and I'll be sure you know what all those were.
Yeah. Well, I just want to tell you, thank you for allowing me to do this. And, you know, I would just want to say to pastors, hey, you're not alone. Do not allow the enemy to isolate you. Do not allow the enemy to lie to you. Do not allow the enemy to fill your mind with thoughts that you can't be real, because you can be real. And I can promise you, in every church, there's a remnant of people that'll get around you, pray for you, support you, love you, And, you know, you can really help a lot of people by being vulnerable, by being honest, by admitting, you know what, we don't know it all. I mean, let's just be honest, man. We just need the Lord. We need his help.
Yeah.
And I don't want to keep this going, but I'll just say this quickly and I'll be done. A couple of weeks ago, we had a life group fellowship in our church and a class asked me to come. And I went on a Friday night and got there, and it was a younger adult class. And there probably were 50 children, 50 kids running around. And when I walked in, about a dozen of them just ran up to me and hugged my neck. And I mean, I was just overwhelmed. I mean, you know, come on. What? They wanted to talk to me, say hello to me, hug my neck. And when I got home that night, Jay, there was just a, I don't know, I think I'd call it the fear of God that just gripped my heart. And the Bible talks about making straight paths. And to your point of the enemy wanting to take out a leader, just think of the damage that does. And what the Lord just burdened my heart for was all those children who thankfully looked up to their pastor. And, you know, the enemy is real. He's at work. He's given people a whole lot of reasons not to want to go to church. And the last thing I ever want to do is to do something that would hurt their faith, hurt their walk with the Lord, and make them have questions. And so, you know, there's a lot of weight there, isn't there? And Lord, help us to be real. We have to be. We have to be honest. We have to get the mask off. And so, again, you know, my prayer for every pastor that tunes into this is, you know, don't allow pride to fill your heart. Don't allow pride to grip your heart. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to you. Okay. Yes, now don't go to the other extreme and live your life in fear. Just be real, be honest, be sincere, be humble. Man, gather your family around you, love on them, get you some people that, man, are real, that you can talk to, that you can be honest. You have struggles. Don't be too proud to cry out for help. Get you someone that, man, will get on their knees, pray for you, help you, love you, keep you accountable. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Deal with it before it happens. Don't be like the little boy. His mama said, don't you dare take the car. Well, she was gone. He snuck out, took the car when he should not have, rode it into a ditch, hit a pole, bowed his head and said, God, I hope, I pray this didn't just happen. Well, that's a little too late to start praying, right?
Yeah.
Start praying before it happens. And let's, in the name of Jesus, let's pray that somehow something would be used and said that would help people before the damage is done. So that's basically my heart, and that's my cry for myself.
Amen. Amen. That's good. And we're here to help. So you guys, if anybody listening, struggling, you're battling some battles, give us a call.
Amen.
Okay, all of our information's here, Recovery Ministries. And, you know, our ministry, I'm a local church person. So, and Pastor Chaddick, and I'm glad you heard him because he is, he's my pastor, and everything we do in our ministry, we run through him because he's our pastor. He's our leader. He's our shepherd. And, we want to help you.
Amen.
And so all you have to do is let us know.
Amen.
Preacher, thank you very much.
I love you, brother. I appreciate you. And thank you very much.
Love you too. Everybody join us next Monday night, 7 o'clock. Don't miss it.